is Kabbalah 99. I'm Deborah Sophia. Today we have on the call Maria Rosa Galter, a soul guide and nature-connected life coach who graduated from the Benedictine School Formation Program and is a student at Earth-Based Institute. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, Deborah. So nice to be here. I'm just really looking forward to this time together.
Me too. We are sister souls, and I'm really curious to hear what you have to say.
Well, okay. I'm happy to be here with you.
Great. Before you became a nature-connected life coach, you had a 10-year professional career in the international nonprofit sector, mainly working in East Africa, in Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. During that time, you founded Into Your Hands Africa, and later became the executive director of AfricAid, an African network for animal welfare. So after all this focused involvement in international development, you chose to travel down a very different path. What made you decide to leave that work?
The driving force that I had in wanting to do this international development work was to reconnect with people and places that I had lived as a child. And I had lived in Uganda, East Africa as a teenager, and had, you know, really, you know, fallen in love with the country, fallen in love with the people as an adult. I was seeking, you know, and longing for that reconnection. And so I was able to go back to Uganda in 2004 and really saw, you know, the need of the people. At that time, there was still a lot of devastation due to the HIV/AIDS epidemic, the devastation in communities, families affected, generations affected. Just had this real longing and desire to give back, to connect, to be useful, to have purpose. So I came back from that trip in 2004 wanting to do something. So I started Into Your Hands Africa, which is an organization that worked in rural Uganda with families and young adults or adolescent youth to support the families and the adolescent youth to develop small businesses and small scale enterprises so that they could just have a path to greater well-being. But what I found doing that work was that I was really here in the United States raising money. And so the relationships that I was building, the connection that I was building, was really predicated on asking for money. And it just didn't resonate for me. And then at that time, also had a deep sense that I was being called into something else. So kind of unpacking that, I realized, huh, I feel like I'm being called into priesthood. And at that time I was in the Catholic Church. And of course, in the Catholic Church, you know, women can't even explore priesthood. I left the Catholic Church. I joined the Episcopal Church and then went into a 2-year directed discernment process to look into whether I was, you know, what that nudge was. What was that internal nudge inside of me? Through that whole process, really realizing that what I was longing for was to connect more directly with people, connect more directly with the longings in people's hearts, the longing in my own heart, and then seeing also this deep longing in creation.
You use the word longing, a heart's longing, and you've also said nature is longing for our renewed participation. What is this longing you're talking about?
Yeah, so during that time of discernment for priesthood, I spent a lot of time outdoors exploring what is being revealed within me. While being out in nature, the clear message that I received from creation was that I was being called to work outside of the walls, outside the walls of any religious structures, outside the walls of buildings. I was being called into nature, into creation, because what I felt was there was this deep longing in nature, this deep longing in the earth, this deep longing in the spirit that moves through creation for us to come back, to reconnect, to remember our ancient connection to the land. And this is a connection that's been broken in so many ways, you know, in recent times. Right now, our life is so sped up. We get into our cars, we drive from our homes to wherever it is that we're going, the grocery store. And life just literally speeds past us. And we don't take the time to go and connect with spirit and with soul. Our own souls have become disconnected from the soul of the earth, disconnected from the spirit that is moving through the earth. The message that I received was just so clear that the earth is longing for us, and our souls are longing for that too. We are being invited to come back into this place where our soul and the earth's soul converges. That place of connection.
That's very interesting, because we all are aware of our own longing, maybe the longing to reconnect with nature. That's something I hear. Well, what I don't hear, certainly from the scientific community, and for most people, because we are schooled in today's science, is that the way you speak of the earth as a being, is that the earth can have longing. The earth has consciousness. And you talk about the soul of the earth, which is in itself is a tremendous shift. Evolution is supposed to be, you know, random mutation over time, which Milo always makes me laugh, because it's not what I saw in nature. What you're talking about is a departure from the usual way of looking at an inanimate rock, which we call earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying inanimate in kind of in quotations, because perhaps it's not inanimate.
Yes, I think that's what a lovely thing to explore. But the earth really, to me, you know, nature and all the visible beings, I like to think of the beings of creation being our more than human beings. You know, we have the human beings, which is us, and then the rest, everything else, you know, is the more than human beings. And these more than human beings are really the manifestation of, you know, the energies of love being made visible. So to me, you know, when I look at creation, everything that we see is the visible manifestation of this energetic reality that the whole universe is imbued with. And that energetic reality, and I mean, scientists talk about this too, is that attraction, that everything is held together by this energetic connection and attraction, which mystics call love.
It's a beautiful way of looking at nature. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you talk about is joyful play and intention. So you have a quote on your website: the universe is God's playground. The classic response to which is there no room then for work? What is play for you, and what is work for you?
Play is this beautiful exploration. And I think play is an attitude. When we are children, our world is play. We call it play as adults. What are we doing as children when we play? We're exploring. We're learning with our whole body. We are completely immersed in what we do. And in that immersion, we experience this joyfulness, because we are fully absorbed in the activity, in the learning, in the environment. That playfulness is the ability to be engrossed, the ability to not be attached to an outcome, because it's all experimental. And so we are free. We are free to fully be in that experience and not fear failure. When we play, there's no failure. There's just the experience itself and the joyful absorption of the experience. I like to think of the work that I do as my play. That is what our soul longs for, is to be engrossed in the purposefulness of our life, and that purposefulness is then manifested in the work that we do.
Right. That theme is coming up again and again in the conversations I'm having these days, is that sense of purpose and finding our purpose So now you have a program called Walk to Connect. Can you tell us about Walk to Connect?
Sure. So Walk to Connect is a cooperative, which means that this is an organization that is owned by several individuals. And we have members also that are part of the co-op. And what we do is we create connection-focused walking experiences, not only throughout the state of Colorado, but nationwide. We have different chapters, as well as we have now a chapter in London as well. But the whole point of Walk to Connect is the experience of greater connection to self, greater connection to each other, and greater connection to our environment, to the places where we live, work, and play. What does walking do for us? Walking is our most natural way of movement. And through walking, we can experience all of this greater levels of connection.
That seems to be your entire message, an expression of your message, that we can connect through nature and we connect with each other. So that's a wonderful development. Who tends to respond to your message of finding connection and purpose in nature?
They're intrigued by this idea of connecting to nature. So there's something within them. There's a nudge inside of them that is resonating to this idea of connecting to nature. So there's already this longing that they're recognizing within themselves. Usually then also people who are in a place of transition in their life, experiencing some form of discomfort or something that is propelling them to seek answers, or they know they want to walk in the world in a different way. They want to be in the world in a different way. We talk about this concept of the mythic image. And our patterning through life creates for us an image of ourselves. That is our mythic image. We can create a new mythic image through that process of self-transformation. You know, when we begin to feel that kind of sense, like, you know, we're wearing clothes, but they're a little uncomfortable and we don't really know why. And we're connecting with this unease within ourselves, but we're not sure why. That is a nudge that we're experiencing to explore, to be curious, to track within ourselves. What's the longing? What are we being nudged towards? What do we want to explore here? So sometimes it's, you know, life changes. Sometimes it's job changes in careers. Sometimes it's old patterns that they want to move away from and new patterns that they want to move into. So it can be a lot of different things.
You're encouraging people to listen to these feelings, to have curiosity about these longings and to follow them in a curious way, not in a dark way, but bring light to them.
Absolutely. To bring light to them. The opportunities when we connect with the symbolism of the full moon. The full moon shines a light into the darkness. That full moon light allows us to see things within ourselves that need to be tended to, need to be looked at. But from that place of compassion and self-love, you know, that place of companioning yourself as you look into what may need to be changed within you.
Companioning yourself. I love that. Being a friend to yourself. That's lovely. Lovely. Yeah. Because when we're in nature, we're never alone.
We're totally connected.
So what kind of feedback are you getting from your clients? And what do you hear most often about the transformation they're experiencing?
The power of collaborating with nature, and how when we collaborate with nature, when we open ourselves up to receive, to understand, to listen to nature's wisdom, the insights that we gain from that, the clarity that we gain from that, how quickly things begin to, how quickly you begin to see the thing, to see things and understand things, because nature offers us that mirror. So it's that I like to think about the outer journey and how the outer journey or the outer landscape mirrors and connects with our inner journey and our inner landscape.
Well, I also hear in what you're saying a deep sense of gratitude. Do you help your clients shift into gratitude for what is?
Yeah. When we learn to observe ourselves the way that we observe nature, we begin then to see in ourselves the beauty of our internal world. You know, our internal landscape is beautiful. Our quirkiness, what we may call, you know, our shadow side, all of that holds some treasure. My clients begin to see in themselves their treasures because they see them in nature.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's an antidote. That's better than chocolate.
It's better than chocolate. I don't know. I like chocolate a lot.
Comes from nature.
Yes, it does come from nature. What I see with my clients is that they begin to see the treasures that they hold, the gifts that they offer. They shift then their relationship with themselves.
It's a deep sense of healing in what mm-hmm. you do. And you have mm-hmm. something that's called a medicine walk. Can you mm-hmm. share what that is?
So this idea of a medicine walk is it's a way of walking in nature that opens us up to be attuned by nature. And in that process of being attuned, we open ourselves up to our own creativity and wisdom. We gain clarity and insight. And it's how nature affects us. So we allow ourselves to open ourselves up to nature's wisdom. I want to say something that I just found so incredible. It ties into the idea of the medicine walk because this is what's happening to us. So the earth vibrates at a certain frequency. I like to think of that being the heartbeat of the earth. So there's a certain vibrational frequency that the earth naturally produces. Well, that vibrational frequency that the earth naturally produces is the same frequency of our brain when we are in our most creative state.
Ooh.
When we are in the place of creativity and intuition, when we are in a place where we are connected body and mind, when we are in a relaxed state of well-being, we are actually in the same vibrational frequency as the earth. So when we go out into a meandering walk in nature, we are allowing the earth to attune us to our place of well-being. A medicine walk then is a walk in which we intentionally open ourselves up to be in the same vibrational frequency as the earth. So we open ourselves up to be attuned to the earth and to the earth's wisdom. If there's an issue or something coming up in our lives that we want some clarity around, we formulate a question. We create that as our intention for our walk, our medicine walk. We'll formulate a question, you know, what is the best way forward in so-and-so? You know, I'd like to attune to something that's, you know, percolating inside and you want some clarity on. So you formulate this question or this intention. And then you imagine a threshold space or an entryway or a doorway out in nature. It could be two trees. It could be two rocks. It could be, you know, a pathway or whatever it may be. And you walk through that threshold with that intention. And then you open yourself up. You go to that place where everything around you has meaning. Every pattern in nature, every tree, every flower, every animal. If there's tracks on the ground, they have meaning. If the birds fly around you, they have meaning. Everything that you experience is like a book. And so you walk through nature and allow it then to speak to you. You become a tracker. You track with curiosity and allowing for what you see then to infuse you with meaning.
That sounds lovely, very inspiring. And you mentioned something about a 360 practice. Can that be melded together with this medicine walk?
Absolutely. It's definitely a way of entering into the medicine walk.
Can you tell us about that? How do you do the 360 practice?
with the 360, it's a listening practice. Again, you know, this is something that the ancient knew how to do this all the time, but we've kind of lost touch of what we can do. So with a 360 practice or listening, we first tune in to all of the sounds that we hear nearby with our right ear. And so just tuning in to these subtle sounds, or maybe not so subtle sounds, that one hears, you know, right next to you on your right side. And then after a few moments, then we shift our awareness to sounds that might be really, 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 really far away. So we allow ourselves to track those sounds that are in the distance, to tune into those sounds in the distance. Then we shift, you know, awareness to our left ear and do the same thing, where we listen close by for the sounds that are nearby. And then we shift and we throw our awareness to the distance and try to catch the sounds that are really far away and imagine what might be making that sound. What could that be? And what could that mean that there's that sound so far away? And we do that, you know, with all of our directions. So we do that with sounds that are in front of us. We do that with sounds that are behind us. We do that with sounds that are above us. We do that with sounds that are below us into the ground. And then we open ourselves up to the full 360 spectrum of sound. So it's like we're this massive antenna. Or I like to think of it like, you know, we're deer with these ears, right? They can move in any direction. And now we're picking up sounds that are coming from all around us. So we're shifting now our awareness to the whole, to the bigness, to the expansiveness of nature around us.
I really love how this practice shifts our focus away from the visual, which is so overstimulated today, to the audio, to sound and listening and feeling vibration. So thank you for that. I hope our listeners will try it. I know I will next time I'm out in nature.
The effects on the brain then of doing this kind of a practice, you know, we are activating. So looking at it from a brain perspective, often what happens to us when we are in a fear response is we are stuck in the limbic system, which is the emotional cycle of a fear response. But when we begin to shift our awareness in this way and connect with our body sensations and our senses to our environment in a very direct way, then we are actually in our brains, we're shifting to our prefrontal cortex. And that prefrontal cortex is that place of inner knowing and intuition and clarity and insight. We're actually doing something to our brain when we do that.
Ooh, it's good to know. I'm going to try that. So Maria, what are your plans for the future?
I'm excited about 2021 because I think the now the vaccine is going to help us move through the pandemic. One of the things that I love to do with my friend Jennifer Reeve, we host equinox walks and solstice walks and full moon walks, where we combine her practice of Koya, which is a feminine movement practice, with some of the nature connected practices that I bring. And we support groups of people as they reconnect with their inner self and with creation through some of these outdoor nature experiences. For myself, seeing in myself and honoring my own transition into cronehood. Mm. So celebrating the beauty of the gray hairs that are coming in, celebrating the beauty of the wrinkles in my face, celebrating the wisdom that I have gained through my life experience, and honoring all of that through a rite of passage into cronehood.
Well, I hope that you will turn that into something that we can participate in for ourselves. I think our society has forgotten about rites of passage, and I would love to do a rite of passage into cronehood because I'm at that same point. And that sounds great. So let me know when you are ready to share it with us as a program. I'm signing up.
Thank you so much. And I just, you know, again, it's, you know, patterns of nature on our own face.
Right.
And how beautiful is that?
Right. Nature is not stagnant. It's always changing.
And it is it's a beautiful process to go through. So let's celebrate it and honor it.
Yes. And when we're out walking in nature, the one thing we see is that nothing stays the same. Change is
nothing
a constant.
Stays the same. Change is constant. That's right. Change is constant. Yes.
In the same way, spring comes back. So we will have this blink of an eye life on this planet. And then, you know, that's a topic for another discussion. What comes next?
Yes. Yes.
So what is the best way for interested listeners to contact you?
They're welcome to go to my website, which is walkinginspiritus.com. Of course, my email, maria@walkinginspiritus.com. And be happy to support wherever they are in their path. Right. Yeah, it is that place of creativity and growth and how all of those cycles support that creativity and growth, you know, and having patience through those cycles when we're feeling a little more stagnant, but you know, we can welcome that as a time of rest as well.
That's beautiful. Maria, is there any last thought you'd like to share with our listeners?
When we're experiencing discomfort in ourselves, to be curious about that, you know, is that an invitation? Are we being nudged into a new understanding? Are we being invited into a different way of perceiving and of being in the world? I think that spirit is inviting us into that. And I think one of the ways that we can explore that is by reconnection to nature, reconnecting to the earth and its cycles and its wisdom.
Well, thank you for the beautiful work you've created, for daring to leave a 10-year career and to create something outside the walls. That's a beautiful thought. And quite daunting when you're not in a structure, an existing structure. So thank you for having the courage to do that and sharing it with us.
Thank you, Deb. You know, when we make the jump, right, and we realize, oh, there's no parachute. But we find this incredible sense of freedom in that. You know, it's like all of a sudden, like, wow, this is what it feels like to be just in that free flow. I like to think of it as a dance. You know, we're dancing in this beautiful place of unknowing, and it can be very rich.
That's a beautiful thought to end on. And thank you so much for speaking with us. Until next time.
All right. Thank you so much.
For more mind-heart awakenings like these, you can follow us on this podcast and on our blog at Kabbalah 99. That's where we discuss the weekly Torah portion through the lens of today's challenges and offer practices to stay sane, grounded, and connected. If you like this episode, please remember to tell one friend about it. Next week, we'll hear from another thought leader who will help us to explore our experience of life and our place in this universe of wonder. Thanks for listening. I'm Deborah Sophia. See you next week.